Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jessica, I'm here for the superintendent meeting where we argue over things that we shouldn't have to argue about because obviously the parents of Capeside are wrong. But
excuse me, ma'am. This is a PTA meeting, not a pep rally. Just saying.
Yeah, excuse me. I would like to bring up the important matter that my son is a douchebag.
I would like to say something about the principal, and it's simply that he's black, and that is why I hate him. And that's all I have to say.
I would like to say that Capeside may be a bigoted town, but here we are. Just trying to get by every single day.
We learned some awful things about Capeside and its general populace.
Trash, everyone's trash.
Yeah.
They're all taking money under the table from the rich folk that joined the country club. I'm surprised that Andy's dad, is not involved in any of this. But you know what? He wants nothing to do with his children, so why would he even pay attention to the school?
He has no stakes in this.
No.
He simply does not care.
I'm an important businessman. I have important business activities.
He has meetings
all day, every day, for his mysterious job that we don't even know.
No,
all these parents suck. Meanwhile,
yeah.
Gail's like
trying to revise her reputation from the first season.
Yeah.
That is what we spent the episode doing.
She's like,
Gail.
Hi, my name is Gail. I'm a serious reporter.
Now she's a serious
I'm a
reporter.
Serious reporter. But also I'm trying to open up a fish restaurant.
Very suddenly, we have the stupid fish restaurant.
Thank goodness this isn't like, the show is not about the parents of Capeside.
Oh God, we'd be suffering big time.
Yeah.
We would be suffering.
All we have is like a bunch of little children like fighting the good fight.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we have. This is the thing. This episode is like a very important episode. It's not a very fun,
it's not fun.
Episode.
It's not fun.
And the thing is that's what we love about, we love the drama. Don't get me wrong. We love a drama. That's why we're here. However, this isn't like the fun drama that like we've come to expect from Dawson's Creek. This is like the real life drama that actually is still happening in fucking 2021. And it makes me fucking sad to watch this all take place in the 90s. And yet, have we grown? Have we grown at all?
You came off of it watching it pretty mad, right? You were mad.
Oh, I was so mad. I was instantly angry. Like, it was literally like 3 minutes into the episode, I was like, fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's important. And I think it's an important lesson to learn that the world is not just. The world is biased. The world has preferences towards your economic stance and the color of your skin, even still. Yep. And just because sometimes you do the right thing doesn't mean that you're rewarded in society. Sometimes the people that have better status in life get what they want, and it's sad.
Exactly.
And this is kind of what we learn in this episode. And it's important because I think it's a lesson that we all have to learn, but it's not fun.
No, it's not a fun episode of Dawson's Creek, but we are here to cover it regardless. It is a good episode, and the ending, we'll get there. I don't know how many messages we got this week that said, he bought her a wall! So we will get there with all of that stuff. But how has your week been? Because this is, I'm trying to remember, we last recorded prior to Christmas, right? And now Christmas has happened. The holidays are done. They're over. Yeah. We have New Year's to get through, which take it or leave it. I don't particularly care about New Year's. Yeah. It's a day. It happens. Right. I will drink some champagne and toast. And that's it. I saw, if you are a member of the Pusher Recaps Discord, you may have seen this, that I feel like this is such a good idea not to like make a resolution for next year because literally nobody ever sticks to those. Instead, to look back on like this year and like look at things that you were grateful for 2021 and be like, this was nice that it happened. You know what I mean?
Sis, you do that every single year. This isn't like a new thing.
I don't know that I've ever
done. You have last year.
Did I do this?
Last year you posted on like Twitter, like all the things that you were grateful for. I have the memory of a
goldfish.
And I actually was waiting for you to like make a tweet about it. Because I'm pretty sure last year you said that this is what you do. Instead of resolutions, you do.
Last year?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. No, I want to look
on my Twitter.
Yeah, no. If you search like 2020 Jessica Sterling, you'll find the post because like one of the things you're grateful for was Shit 90 Shows Taught Me and me,
and I still am.
So I just like I sometimes feel as though like I'm just with when I speak to you, I just, and it happens with a lot of people, that it's constant deja vu because I'm like, we've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
Like, what? No, you've
definitely had every conversation with me before.
It happens with, like, my friends. It happens with my fiance. It's like, am I just living in a loop? Probably.
I mean, if it's with me, yes, because we all know that I don't remember anything.
Truthfully, I think it's, like, a really nice sentiment. Like, I'm not, like, doxing you about that. Like, I think it's great. I think that resolutions are really hard to keep. But I think that to look back and think about like what you're grateful for, I think that's a wonderful sentiment. Like New Year's kind of blows. I don't like it. I don't like a lot of holidays. In fact, if you've been listening to us for a while, like you'll hear like me being like, oh, I don't like this holiday. I don't like that holiday. I hate New Year's. It's always overhyped. And honestly, like, I don't know why, but like the song Auld Lang Syne makes me really depressed, which I know I've said before on a podcast.
It's like, let all be forgot
it's
that one.
It's sad. I don't know why it's a song. I hate it.
I don't know how to pronounce the song. Auld Lang Syne. That's my biggest issue with it.
Auld Lang Syne.
Like, it's not spelled like it sounds, and it's very confusing. How do you possibly search for tweets? I don't know how to do this. You're better at the Twitter stuff than I am. I don't know what the hell I'm doing right now trying to find this.
I can find it, but
please do and tell me if I've already done this before, because that would truly crack me up.
I know that you've done it before, because I remember
it. I'm going to search for myself and then New Year's.
Just do 2020.
Maybe New Year's would trigger it. What the heck? I tweeted about a bed frame at some point. That's not what I'm looking for. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's happening.
Okay. All right. It's fine.
Anyway,
let it go.
I can't. Oh, wait. I found one from 2019.
Okay, here we go. Written on December 31st, 2020, 1 year ago.
Great.
Mentally, 2020 was a challenge. While I often felt... Okay, this is kind of private, but whatever. When I often
it's
felt...
It's private. My Twitter is a public Twitter.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Mentally, 2020 was a challenge. I often felt isolated and never felt alone. Mentally, 2020 was a challenge, just like me reading this tweet. While I often felt isolated, I never felt alone, and I have some people to thank for that. At Will Afferty, planning the wedding wasn't easy, but choosing to marry you was.
Oh, now this is ringing. What's the word? Ringing, now this is like ringing a bell. Is that
at
right?
At Sarah Ferguson, meeting you and starting Shit 90s Pod was hashtag BFF goals. The last time you called me your best friend.
this is so untrue.
At Ron Howard. Starting community building with you wasn't something I ever thought would happen. It's way more than cool. Cool. At Post Show Recap, specifically the Discord crew, I really felt like I found a wonderful home, chatting snacks, and playing Among Us.
Oh wow.
Disgusting.
Throwback, bitch.
Disgusting.
Throwback.
And then at Rob's sister Nino and the entire RHAP crew, podcasts have never been more important for keeping one's mind occupied, and you never fail to provide funny content. And then everybody else, I can't fit into a tiny tweet, who made me laugh or smile in this hellish year. Cheers to 2021 with beer emojis. Jessica, you've done this before, and I remember you did it in 2019 too, because you
why do you know that
referred to it, and I think it's on your Facebook and not your Twitter.
Because I remember. What, have you just scoped out my entire
social
media?
You told me a year ago, and I'm sorry that I don't have a memory of a gerbil, and I remember things you actually tell me. I'm sorry that I remember and I absorb shit that you tell me.
I don't remember anything.
I'm sorry.
And now that you've said that, I recall saying those things, but at the same time, I could see myself saying those things on the 1 year anniversary of the podcast. So it's hard for me to
reckon which is. I remember thinking it was like a nice
thing.
You
were like, oh, I made the top whatever.
And last year you proposed it that this was like your thing. And now this year you're like, I saw it on the PSR.
I did not say, I don't think I said it was my thing last year.
I mean, girl, I trust.
Well, then I was smarter than I thought.
I trust myself more than you.
That you should.
So
anyway, no one cares. This has been 10 minutes of this nonsense.
I mean, like, I'm just saying that, like, okay. But the thing is like, Sarah, how is your week? Blah, blah, blah. And then you went into, like, this whole thing about yourself and, like, what your goals for 2022 were. And I'm like, okay, like, I didn't even get to, you're like, hi, how are you? How was your week? But also, this is what I'm
also
doing.
Let me talk about myself for 10 minutes.
So, fuck it. Let's talk about Principal Green.
Well, are you going to tell me how your week was?
No, I won't. Ugh. I won't. You don't want to know, so I'm not going to share.
This is the biggest fight we've ever had.
No, it's
I don't think it is.
I don't think
it's
it
not even close.
It's, episode season 3, episode 16, To Green with Love.
Yep.
We open up with this PTA meeting, and they're discussing the whole Matt Caulfield thing, which I thought would die, but it didn't.
Nope.
And we have, like, the parents arguing that it was not fair for Principal Green to decide to expel Matt Caulfield. And then we have, like, another, like, maybe smaller group. I'm not quite sure, of, like, Dawson and Pacey and Joey and, like, some other random smatterings that, like, it was fair. And basically, like, Matt Caulfield's dad is, like, it's not fair that he didn't. He acted, like, out of line. And you should welcome my kid back.
Yeah, he calls Principal Green an extremist, and he says his notions of justice are better suited for an urban war zone. Right. Which, like, I'm pretty sure it's, I think it's Pacey at this moment. He's like, did he really just say that? Like, we all know what he means when he says that. Yeah. I have in my notes, okay, racist asshole.
Yeah, so, like, this is starting to become racially driven.
Exactly.
This whole thing.
Yeah, and I love Joey saying, if you were doing your job as a parent, you wouldn't be here either.
Ooh.
Like, fuck you, Dick.
Yeah.
So Joey stands up and is, like, basically saying, you know, this isn't right. It's gotten blown out of proportion. This is ridiculous. Then we get the superintendent saying, if as of Friday at 3 p.m., Principal Green doesn't amend his decision to something less severe, then he will ask Principal Green for his resignation. And this is a big fucking deal. I don't know the ins and outs of, like, school shit.
Mm-hmm.
This seems real fucked, in my opinion. But, you know, this is also in the 90s and also, like, a small town. I don't really know how this all operates. But Gail sees a news reporter, Sherry, reporting on this. And she goes up to congratulate her. So apparently when Gail was a news reporter, Sherry was just an intern.
Yep.
And, like, Sherry uses some very, like, coded language when she says, oh, you're a veteran trailblazer. But yeah. She means, like, old. Like, bitch, you're old.
Right. Because it's, like, one of those things where she's, like, you know, there's a new generation of female reporters, and we wouldn't be here without, like, you being the catalyst for that.
Right.
So it's, like, meant to be nice.
It's a backhanded compliment.
It's a backhanded compliment.
Yeah. And so Sherry's angle is going to be, because every news story has an angle, that, you know, Principal Green is a wacko. And this really bothers Gail, and we'll get into more of her story later. But, like, makes sense that, like, the news reporter really is supposed to tell all sides of a story, not just choose their favorite and go with it.
Doesn't
happen now.
I think it's really, like, the network's, like, prerogative.
Oh, it doesn't. Of course.
They get backed from.
Exactly.
The news is so biased these days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nothing has changed. Like, that is what's so triggering about this episode is, like, a lot has changed, but also so much has not. And
right.
It's really hard to watch this because you're like, we wish it was different now. But then we see Joey and Pacey walking together on their way out after the PTA meeting. And Joey is like, it's unjust. And Pacey says something that is just still so true. And he says, convicts, mental defectives, which we obviously would not use that terminology today, but the meaning behind it is still true. And people under 18 aren't allowed to contribute to decisions that affect them.
Mm. Yeah.
Very true. Like, a lot of these people aren't given options. They're kind of just told this is how it's going to be, and that's it. And Joey is frustrated because squeaky wheels get the oil. And so she wants people to actually stand up for Principal Green. And she says they would have to set down their PlayStation and turn off TRL.
Yeah, you gotta turn off the TRL.
TRL, yeah. Shout out.
That was so pretty good. Yeah, I always, like, went home after school and watched TRL with Carson Daly.
Yeah.
Got it. And it's like, oh, like, who's gonna be, like, the guest today? And, like, everybody wants to be one of the people that were outside the window with the signs.
Yeah.
The old, old days. And I mean, I did not have a problem turning off my PlayStation, but I probably did have a problem turning off my TRL. So PC's like, yeah, like, let's do it. Like, let's, like, get a movement going. Let's rally the troops. And I think that Joey is, like, kind of, like, uncertain. Like, what can she even do? Like, she, like,
right.
Even her, like, efforts of, like, trying to make a statement of painting a mural, like, that whole thing triggered everything.
Right.
But he's very encouraging. But, you know, who is also encouraging? AJ.
Yeah, well, the thing is Pacey says, oh, go rally the troops. And then AJ literally says the same exact thing, that they need a leader to rally around.
Yep.
And she's like, oh, that's what Pacey said. And then he says, he has the audacity, while talking to a girl called Joey, which is unusual at best, even though her name is Josephine, to say, what kind of name is Pacey? Bitch, what kind of name is AJ? What the fuck are you talking about?
Like, hold on. Like, no, I think
it's offensive.
I think between the three, like, I've never met somebody named Pacey.
I don't know. It's so hard for me to know because I've lived with Dawson's Creek for so long.
But like, the thing is like nobody was like, oh, this, I'm watching this show called Dawson's Creek and there's a character named Pacey. I'm going to name my son after him. Like, nobody is named Pacey. Ever.
Guess what? I don't care because I don't like AJ.
AJ.
AJ sucks.
Oh gosh. I mean, AJ is kind of like, this happens all the time where you're like, here's a great idea. Why don't you do it? And they're like, oh, I don't know. And then like so-and-so's like gives the same exact idea. And for whatever reason, that person values that person's opinion more. And they're like, that's a great idea. And you're just sitting there like, what the fuck? I just said that.
I said the same thing.
I said that. Yeah. That happens. Well, people do that all the time to me. And I don't like it. And it's annoying.
Sarah's triggered by this.
I think I am. Like, I think, I don't know, like, why. Nobody, like, I come up with, like, tons of great ideas. No one takes me fucking seriously.
I take you seriously.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
As long as you know that. I don't really care what you think of anybody else.
All right. I'm getting heated myself.
This entire episode is this, very heated.
This whole episode is like going to like bring out my like, you know,
your Aries moon.
My Aries moon.
We're just
going to
be screaming at the microphones.
Two fire signs just raging at the microphones.
So Joey, Bessie calls Joey into the room because Joey's on the news. And it's the news story about the potential resignation of Principal Green. He has refused to comment, which this will be an ongoing thing. And this news story is absolutely ridiculous because they completely take Joey's words out of context.
It was fucked up. They like literally just cut and splice the freaking thing. And Joey's like, well, like I didn't say that. And she's like, well, I guess I did, but like not
but
in that context.
I don't know how this works with news reporters and stuff, but don't they even need her permission in order for her to appear on television? Like, don't they need her to sign off on
something? I don't
know.
Maybe because it was, like, in a public forum.
Oh, maybe.
Like, maybe.
But it's so fucked. And, like, I would be especially upset if I'm Joey because it makes it look like she's against Principal Green when she's obviously the opposite.
I mean, what did she mean by she saying, like, it was blown out of proportion? Like, what does she mean by that anyway?
She was saying,
it was weird.
She's saying that the PTA meeting is blown out of proportion.
It made it sound like when I was watching it at first, it made it sound like the whole situation is blown out of proportion. So I can see how, like, out of context that could have been taken.
Oh, yeah, it sounds horrible.
Yeah. Like, I think that she needs to be like, this PTA meeting is blown out of context. Just so
she didn't know she was going to be
I
on
think
the
that,
news.
Like, you have to be, like, very intentional with what you say.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I didn't know what she was talking about either. What's blown out of proportion? I don't know.
Yeah. So, so we're in school the next day, and we see Joey hanging up flyers to save Principal Green. I didn't know that back in the 90s, they even had one of those, like, bracelet things with tape. So you have two hands free.
Oh.
Those are like great for wrapping presents.
Do you have
you know?
One of those?
I don't. I should, but I don't. Why are you making that face?
No, like I've never really, like I don't, I know them. Like I've seen them. I don't have
I feel
them.
Like that would be a good stocking stuffer.
Yeah, that would be a decent stocking stuffer.
Yeah, so
I just want to know, like, how, as like a person that has animals, like how can you not get like fur in your tape?
Oh, 100%, but that happens with regular tape.
I know. I'm just like any tape.
Oh, in general.
Yeah. I just like that's the only thing. Like if that little wrist thing helps you not get fur in the tape, then and like my dogs don't even shed. They don't. My breed of dog literally doesn't shed. And like it's still like my hair gets in it. Like it.
No.
It's so annoying.
If there's a day that goes by that I don't have dog hair in my mouth, in my eyes, literally anywhere, something is wrong. Like, every single day there's dog hair somewhere on my body.
And not even the robot vacuum can help you with that.
No, she does her best, but there's only so much Wanda can do.
She does her best. Yes. So Pacey's like, I'm glad to see that you took my talk to heart and you're, like, you know, you're fighting the good fight. And then Joey was like, you were encouraging, but this wasn't your idea. And Pace is like, okay, fine. Like, if you want to take credit for it, totally cool. And then it's like, no, actually, it's AJ. Because AJ comes down from Harvard, or Harvard...
fake Harvard in quotes.
Fake Harvard. And AJ came down and is helping Joey, which actually I did think that was very sweet of him.
Very sweet, but I was still angry because Joey wasn't giving PC the credit and instead is giving AJ the credit. And obviously we're always on PC's side here. So AJ is now there and Principal Green is entering the school and like he's being filmed. There's tons of signs. Like it's very awkward.
Lots of press. Just like Friday Night Lights. It's like, what in the world do these...
They have nothing better to do.
Yeah, like, is it the town is so small that they really care about what's the goings-on of, like, high school life? Like,
I think that's what it is. I think that the town is... I mean, we've heard things from Joey about how small the town is before, but, like, with her dad and, like, all the drama behind that and the gossip, so...
I lived in a small town, too, but, like, there was never any news reporters, like...
Oh, same.
In,
I mean, this is television, I think, is what it is, right? Like, we have to just suspend the disbelief about that.
So AJ is there, and Principal Green's there, and everyone's, like, yelling at them, and it's, like, very, very stressful. Yeah.
And then we're at the restaurant. Gail's restaurant is apparently opening soon.
How?
Bitch, how? That's what I wrote. I said, since when? How much time has passed?
I don't even know. Time means nothing.
What the fuck?
Time means nothing. I didn't even know that she put a down payment on it. I didn't even know we were that serious about it. But yeah, like they're literally like rolling the silverware into the napkins. Like that's how
this is
close
ridiculous.
We are to opening this restaurant.
Yeah, Dawson is stuck helping Gail, and he calls himself an indentured servant. It's like, Dawson, just be a good son and shut the fuck up, honestly.
Just work
like,
just roll the restaurant. Work at the restaurant.
Your mom will probably give you some money, so I don't know why you're complaining.
It's so annoying. So, Dawson talks about how he's really proud of Joey and that she's finally standing up for herself and, like, blah, blah, blah. Because this is, I guess, after this little, like, save Principal Green meeting that we don't get to see, but like apparently Joey did a really good job. And Gail's like saying, you know, you're gonna have like a tough road she's gonna have a tough road ahead of her because like Sherry, the news reporter, is like telling a one-sided story, and Dawson is like, I have a good idea. Why don't you tell the real story and I'll be your helper and I'll take my
I'll be your cameraman.
Yeah, I'll get my camcorder out and we can do our own story and you can submit it to Channel 3.
Yeah. And he says that he says we're not doing it for the station, we're doing it for you, Joey and Principal Green. And so then we get like flash cut to the like rally or like the small thing, protest, I guess,
it's a protest
that they've assembled
outside the superintendent's office.
Right. And so Joey is getting ready and AJ and Pacey are standing next to each other. And he's like, oh, thanks, Pacey, for bringing coffee. Like, it's so important. Your support, blah, 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 blah. And like, I don't know. AJ's being nice, but I'm annoyed with him. And AJ's talking
biased,
to Pacey. He's
though,
like,
just like, you know.
I'm very biased. I like Pacey.
It's biased. And AJ's trying. It's like he's not doing anything wrong.
He's not. I just don't like
he's
him.
He's not even pretentious in this episode.
I still hold his first appearance against him because I feel like he was I don't forget things.
Yeah.
So he says she's a born leader. And this is when Gail runs into Sherry. And I freaking love how Sherry wants to interview Joey. And she's like, in your frosted blonde dreams, Barbie. This is great. What a great line.
Yeah. That was a good line by Joey. Sassy Joey is back.
Sassy Joey,
Barbie.
Sassy Joey's the best.
None for you. And she's like, you didn't think I was too hard on the Barbie girl, right? And Dawson's like, it felt good to me.
Yeah.
And then AJ comes over and apparently like, or Pacey comes over and is like, the superintendent wants to see you.
Right.
You've
and
been
so we
summoned
have,
upstairs.
Right. So we have the difference of opinion here. We have Pacey who says he thinks it's a bad idea to go in because he's going to threaten you, Joey. Like, it's nothing good is going to come of this meeting. And Joey turns to AJ and she says, what would you do? And he says he would go in. And so Joey, of course, listens to AJ and goes in. Now, I tend to agree with Pacey that like probably nothing good is going to come from this meeting, But at the same point in time, if you really want change to happen, there has to be like a meeting of the minds. Mm-hmm. And so like they're probably, this is kind of an inevitable conversation right. that's going to have to happen.
I wish, the only thing that I wish is that she went in with the petition of 300 names.
Exactly. Yeah. So they have this whole conversation and he says, you know, he's heard that she's responsible for the dissonant screaming, and he asks what she wants to accomplish. And she says that Principal Green was right. He shouldn't be forced to change his ruling. And Joey says there's more of us, a lot more. Yeah. She says she already has 300 signatures on a petition, which she lies about. She does not have. And that there's going to be a rally tomorrow. There's a voice that doesn't agree with this, and a voice that will be heard. And he says that she should go back to school. And I love her just being like, I'm out with the cold.
Yeah. That was
sassy
too. Which is
ballsy, because I feel like she could be in big trouble here.
For that. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think of this bold move of Joey's?
I mean, like, I think it's awesome. I think it's badass. I wish that she came in with, like, you know, better ammunition. Like, I wish that she came in with, like, something already prepared, like, in a way, like, it kind of would have been a power move, been like, you know, it's not appropriate for you to ask me out of the blue to come upstairs, like, let's make a formal, like, appointment. Like, then she could have been like, I'm important, yeah. blah, blah, blah. And also, I mean, I think it's good for her to be like, you know, there's like a silent majority going on. So I don't know. I mean, I think that it's all well and good. I think it's important that she speaks to the superintendent. My other thought is that, like, I almost feel like Joey's, I love that she's doing it, but in, like, if this was, like, a real situation, like, I wish that Joey wasn't the head or the face of this argument, because it's hard for us to argue that it's not biased why she wants Matt Caulfield suspended.
Because her mural got ruined.
So, exactly. That's what I mean. So, it's like, if this was real, then I wouldn't want Joey being the front runner, because she's a little too close to the situation.
Even someone that's like once removed that she trusts, right? Like a Dawson or a PC or an Andy. Someone, I feel like, you know what? I feel like Andy is the best person for the job because she is fucking spunky. Like, she will not let shit go. And not only that, but we've seen her when she like blackmails somebody later on. Like, she is she's opinionated and she knows how to get the job done. And I mean, granted, she did just like cheat on a test and probably has to deal with the repercussions of that.
I mean, we don't even get to see what those repercussions were, unfortunately.
Not yet. We may still see them. We don't know. But yeah, so I agree with you. I wish that it wasn't Joey that was the face, but like, I do like story-wise why, like, that Joey is the face, because it gives her that confidence. You know, we see a confidence in Joey that we haven't seen. We see her in a leadership position, which we also really haven't seen much.
Yeah. No, I really, really love it from her. I'm just, I don't know, I'm like kind of like thinking about the
real world,
but like, honestly, like, Sarah, get a life. Like, I don't know, this is like, you know, not real, surprisingly. So
we're in Principal Green's house, and Dawson and Gail go there in order to get an interview with him. Nikki had answered the phone and she had agreed on his behalf, but Principal Green doesn't want to talk. And Nikki quotes Dr. King's words, "When you see a good fight, get in it." And he says, like, he doesn't want to do an interview, and we find out later he doesn't want to appear as like the angry black man, right? Yeah. Like, that's what they want out of him. Yep. And he does not want to give that to them.
Yeah, I mean, it honestly reminded me of a Big Brother. It's just so stupid, but you know, it reminds me of when Big Brother All-Stars, the newest All-Stars, when like Dave Vaughn and Bailey were talking about how like they can't get angry in the Big Brother house because they don't want to be shown as like the angry black women, and that's what people expect of them, so they had to be like extra calm and extra put together because of what gets put on, like, stereotypically on black people, like, you know. And we see, like, you know, it's just a whole thing, like, if the situation was with a white principal, like, would any of this really be going down? Probably
yeah,
not.
I think, and the answer is no. Yeah, it's exactly. And like, obviously we're two white women talking about the show, so take that for what you will. But at the same time, it's like, it's really sad because you want Principal Green to speak up and like stand up for himself. And Dawson and Gale are like offering him this opportunity to say his piece and like be heard when he really hasn't been. And for him to explain his actions, not that they need explanation, but to stand by them, basically. And he's not willing to do that. And, of course, Nikki is very frustrated with him as well.
I mean, I guess it is, like, very frustrating because, like, Nikki wants his, like, daughter wants, like, him to fight for himself. And I guess in some people's eyes, he's just sitting and being silent and doing nothing. But I think, like, in a way, Principal Green is thinking, like, if I entertain this, then in a way, it, like, makes me guilty of what they're accusing of because I'm getting defensive about it. And he's like, if I don't even entertain this, then like I'm not taking it seriously. But then it's like now it's like escalating to a point where like the superintendent is like, either you don't you take back your expulsion or you have to leave, which is like insane. I don't know. Also, I don't understand why fucking Matt Caulfield even wants to be in the school. If you're so rich and hoity-toity, then go to a private school.
I think it's, I wonder if it's the expulsion on his record that's the issue, because he was not going to be able to get into college with that on his record.
Right.
But, like, you think his dad's so fucking rich, he'd buy his way in, you know?
You would think.
But yeah, so we get to kind of everybody getting together at the Potter B&B, and Pacey says that while inventing a petition with 300 signatures was a bad idea, like it's easier to fake than the people they will need for a rally. And then, but AJ is like, well, she had to bluff, you know, and he's like, yeah, it's just gonna be tricky. Mm-hmm. So then we see Andy and Jenner helping. Andy blackmailing people is like my favorite moment of the entire episode.
I love how like really that so much activity in this little house, like, and the fact that like Andy was like, if you want me to be on your book, then you better be there and like sign this petition. It was so good. And Jen's being really supportive. Jack made a new flyer and
with his art stuff,
his art,
he's using his
very
art,
very artsy. I never said that he wasn't.
Well, I was going to say, we find out that Pacey is the reason they're getting all these flyers for free.
Exactly. So, I mean, Joey just thinks that Pacey's just like, you know, blowing off every suggestion that's made and not being very helpful. But Pacey's being extremely helpful. Like, he's getting these flyers for free. He's rallying these troops. He's organizing.
And I do feel like this makes a ton of sense for Pacey as a character, both because he's shown to be very charismatic and is able to charm people into getting what he wants.
Right.
But also, like, in the episode where he was trying to find out who was the one that destroyed the mural in the first place, it seemed like he is at least acquaintances with many people. And so he's able to get that information. So I feel like this is so consistent with who PC is that maybe he's not the best student around, but he's very smart and he's very charming.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And I imagine it's his dad valuable. Being a cop also gives him connections.
Yes. Yes, that's true. It certainly does. Yeah. I mean, I think that there's like a big thing about like, hey, like, I mean, what's more valuable in this world? And I think that like intelligence or wisdom. And I think that is an interesting thing to think about. I mean, I think it's both are valuable. Just because he's not book smart doesn't mean that he's not wise.
Oh, for sure.
Winner.
So, yeah. So Joey has 20 people, but they need 200 for this rally.
Yeah, it seems a little tough. I don't know how they're going to do that.
And we see Pacey just like longingly looking at Joey and AJ together. And she's like, well, you're the one who convinced me to do it. And it's like, no, Pacey did.
Like they both did. I don't know. But Jen's being very observant to all of this.
Oh, Jen is the most emotionally intelligent of all of them. We've already knew this, right? Like since the first season.
She's in the know. She knows how this is affecting Pacey. She's even like being, bringing up, like hyping Pacey up to Joey in certain circumstances, which I really liked. Like, she was like, yeah, he did do that. Like, I don't know if you know that, but he did. And I liked that. So I don't know. It's so difficult because, like, just she's not seeing it yet. Joey is not seeing it yet. It is a tough situation so far.
Yeah. And so this is when we see Bessie getting a phone call. So we find out that she got a very threatening phone call saying that if basically like she thinks that people aren't going to come to their business if it's like a rallying point for this rally.
Nobody's
it's
not going to be good business for business anyway.
Okay, exactly. But and also, the thing is like, go ahead.
Well, you're probably going to make the same point. Anybody that's staying at a B&B is not going to be from town. So why would anybody fucking care anyway?
I think it's more, if I'm understanding correctly with what Bessie is saying, she's more concerned about the people that gave them the loan because the mortgage is in their hands. But at the same time, it's done, right? Like, as long as they pay it, who cares? Like, unless these people are going to be so like brazen and awful that they'll go online and make fake reviews for like the Potter B&B or something like that.
But no, like, but it's not like it's 2021 where you can go on like, oh, Yelp.
Fair. Duh. Like, you're right. Duh. So yeah, it's, this is so ridiculous because Bessie's like, well, are we sure that like what Matt did should, you know, is expulsion worthy? And it's so unrealistic to defend a man who won't defend himself. And it's just, it's so messed up that, like, she's saying that she's married to Bodhi, like, a black man.
Yeah, she's not seeing it, is she?
No, and the thing is like, I'm sure at the time, their relationship was controversial and caused an uproar in town.
Of course it was. I mean, that's why Grams hated Joey.
Exactly, and so it's ridiculous because, like, Bodhi is with Joey, and he says, you know, they wouldn't be fighting so hard if Principal Green were white. And Bessie's just like, oh, you want to change the word from our living room? Whatever. It's so ridiculous to me that this is the stance Bessie's taking.
I know, exactly. Her son is half black, and this is the stance that she's taking.
It, I mean, I think they do it so that they can give her the moment at the end to, like, turn around and come to Joey's aid, but it's stupid. Why do that? Yeah, why? It makes no sense to me, especially if I'm Bodhi. I'm so angry at Bessie. I'm not just like, oh, give her time, she'll get over it. No, I'm actually, like, very mad at her.
I think Bodhi's high all the time. I don't think Bodhi gives a shit about anything.
Bodhi is so relaxed constantly. Bodhi gives no fucks about anything.
Yeah, Bodhi is, like, 12 blunts, like, done.
But I love that, like, I love that we are getting more Bodhi content, but I also love that, like, he's there to support Joey and Principal Green. Yeah. Like, instead of seeing neither of them at the rally later, at least we see Bodhi and, like, know he's there to support her because I feel like that's important. Like, it was really frustrating that Bessie is like this, and it really, like, made me annoyed with Bessie. Sucks. And I've been annoyed with Bessie a lot.
She sucks. I don't know.
She does suck.
She's a crappy sister. I can't wait till, like, Joey finally gets out of Cape Side and is like, I'm a rich bitch and you're a swamp whore.
Oh my God. Instead of an ice whore, a swamp whore.
Yeah, you're a swamp whore. And like, and then she's going to just, like, steal Baby Alexander and be like, Baby Alexander, you have to come with me because Bessie keeps you outside all
what
damn day.
What does she want to do with fucking Baby Alexander? He seems boring.
No, because Bessie doesn't take care of Baby Alexander because she leaves him outside half the time in the freezing fucking cold.
Stuck outside. And then my favorite is AJ walking in on this and he's like, I'm gonna leave. It feels really awkward in here now. So but like,
then,
I'm gonna
But then Joey's like, but I can move you into a different room if you prefer.
Yeah, instead of the nautical room, I can give you a different room. Joey, it's not the room. I hate to say it to you. It's not the fucking room. Also, the fact that AJ is staying on the premises with Joey, like,
yeah, it's a different room. I'm sure it's a different suite in the house.
I'm just saying.
I just, like, don't know why AJ really did have to leave at this time. He's like, oh, I have to, like, grade papers. But
yeah, but it was really
going to leave, like, right before the rally?
I know. Stay an extra day. The rally is like tomorrow. Yeah, like,
I thought that was stupid.
Okay, bro. It was stupid.
It's like, why are you? And he's like, you got this. You have great people in your corner. Even that Pacey guy is not that bad.
The fuck? Pacey has done more for this rally than almost anybody else. And you're like, even Pacey's all right.
Like, Pacey's fine. It's like,
this is so weird.
Where did that come from?
They really, this show sometimes loves to like smack you across the face with shit. Yeah. And they like wanted us to feel like there's an AJ Pacey rivalry. Simply so that he'd be like, yeah, that Pacey guy, I guess he's fine. What kind of name is Pacey, right?
He's very, like, indifferent about anything that he does.
AJ doesn't give a fuck about most things also. He's like Bodie. He just doesn't care.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gosh. So then we get Pacey, like, stapling flyers
aggressively.
Yeah, I have one of those staplers. You can really get your anger out.
Yeah, I mean, he's stapling them many, many times.
Yeah.
And then you, Jen, just so happens staples. To be, oh yeah, but he, that doesn't matter, he's getting out his anger. And Jen just happens to be right there. She must have followed him because she's just like, you want to talk about what's bothering you? And he says, nothing. And she's like, it's becoming obvious. And he's like, can you just pretend it's like not obvious, though? She's like, only if we pretend to not have a conversation about it or whatever. And he talks about it being like an impossible situation. He's falling for the worst person he could fall for.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's not great all around. She's taken, and on top of that, it's like his best friend's ex, which also is not great.
Would you consider that their boyfriend, girlfriend, Joey and AJ?
Yes.
100%. Oh, really?
You don't think so?
Like, they never defined the relationship.
They didn't, but I felt like it was unnecessary for them to. Oh, I mean, also, the show doesn't give a shit enough about AJ.
For the draft.
We don't, unless they DTR, we don't have to.
I mean, we'll have the people.
People weigh in.
Weigh in.
We can do a poll.
Let us know. Are they like
on Twitter,
boyfriend, girlfriend, or are they just seeing each other? I thought they were just seeing each other, but I guess
you're right. You could totally be right. I mean, they've never explicitly said it.
Yeah.
I figured since we've seen him a number of times and he came into town for her, that felt relationship-y to me.
I don't know.
Jen
but regardless, says, do something about this.
Yeah. And he's like,
what am I going to do?
Yeah, and he calls himself the Ducky from Pretty in Pink.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever seen Pretty in Pink?
Of course. Oh, my God. I loved Pretty in Pink.
You don't see a lot of things. I didn't know that this was
one of the things.
I know,
but I loved 80s movies for a hot minute. I was very into them.
I mean, like, for me, I think that I preferred, like, the 16 Candles and probably the Breakfast Club more so than Pretty in Pink.
Oh, same. Yeah. But Ducky was, like, a classic. And he said, and Jen tells him, like, don't let your hurt feelings stop you from being a good friend. And he says, I guess it just hurts. And she says, that means it isn't pretend anymore. So, like, very nice scene. And this is the Jen and Pacey stuff I like. Like, I like when Jen is a friend to Pacey. I hated the relationship stuff
between
them. Well,
I don't think that we could have gotten here without that relationship stuff without them. I think that they, like, needed... They didn't even think about each other before that whole thing. I think that they...
Yeah.
I don't think that we would have gotten to that point, this point, without that mess.
Yeah, I suppose you're probably right. So maybe that's the one thing we do gain from that being a
storyline. I never minded that storyline. And I think that Witch Island, weird things happen on Witch Island. And I think that the love potion was real. If I had to say. If you're like, Sarah, like, say yes or no. Like, do you think that they perform witchcraft on Witch Island? I would say yes.
Okay.
9.5 times out of 10. That half a time is just when I'm in a bad mood.
So Gail is now ready to interview Dr. Felding, and she tells Dawson that both sides need to be heard so the truth can be determined.
Yeah, interviewing the opposition. And then this is when, like, Gail performs her best, like, Elle Woods impression. And she's just like, I'm a lawyer now, but also a reporter, but also I own a fish market store.
Yes, this is so funny because she's just like, he says it's best for what's the, the Dr. Felding or whatever, Fielding, says this is what's best for the community. And she goes, oh, that's who you're responsible for, the community. And then she has him read an item, and it says that it's the contract for the job, and his job is to protect the students, not the community.
Which I feel like,
boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, like, I feel like she's like, this is like a bigger point than it actually is.
Oh, for sure. She's blowing this like way up, even though it's really not that big of a deal.
It's like,
but she's like very proud of herself in this moment.
Am I the best lawyer in Massachusetts. Absolutely.
Is this the best, is this the best Gale moment?
No. Maybe. I don't know. She, like, she really thinks that she did that thing. She's like,
She thinks she's hot shit right now.
Evidence. I'm taking my evidence like a Real Housewives mom and taking her evidence from behind a pillow and said, here's my receipts. Like, mister, this is just facts. You're responsible for the students, not the community.
Yeah. So she really feels like she did a number.
And Dawson's on like, you know, like loving it from the back. Good job, Mom.
Good job, Mom.
Good job, Mom. Let's go back to the fish store.
Let's go pick up some fish for your restaurant.
So stupid.
So dumb. Why do they need another fish store? Why do they need another fucking fish restaurant?
You know what? Like, I would even, if she was like, you know what? I really like this. I want to go to law school and become a lawyer. Great.
Phenomenal. Better than a fish restaurant.
Not, I don't want a fucking restaurant. So we just did it with the Ice House.
We did this.
Well, I don't understand why they decided to do this move.
Because this is fucking what's-his-face's thing. This is Mitch's thing, the restaurant thing. That was always Mitch's thing.
No, I mean, they say that.
Remember,
Gale's
he was
thing?
Like designing one?
He was designing like a restaurant.
Now he's a substitute teacher or something. A coach? Is he still a coach, maybe?
Yeah, he's a coach. I don't understand. I really, really don't understand why the show was like, yes. Like, the Ice House, we lost the Ice House, so instead we're going to make Mitch and Gale have a restaurant? Like, what?
Yeah, this is all very dumb.
Makes no sense. But
we're now at Principal Green's house, and Nikki is leaving. She's going to go to the rally, and she says she doesn't understand his position at all, but he's afraid he's going to be portrayed as an angry man, and he says he is angry. Why shouldn't he be? He knows he's doing the right thing, but because someone has these deep-seated fears, he's going to end up having to resign. And so Nikki ends up leaving. To go to the rally by herself.
I think it's hard to understand for Nikki, but I think that with some thought, she'll understand the situation.
Yeah, for
sure. It's frustrating. You want to fight for your, like, you want your, the person that you care for to fight for themselves, but.
Of course.
So now, we're at the rally, and I don't know, we get Joey giving this, like, speech.
Yes. So, Dawson is filming this whole thing. And this is when, like you were saying before, Jen is like, hey, Pacey did a great job getting the word out, huh? That Pacey guy. And Joey's like, I haven't heard from him at all. And then he's at the microphone and he introduces Joey. So Joey gives this big speech about Principal Green, about how he's like been with us this whole year, walking around our halls and supporting us. He's even with us every day, trying to make our lives better. She wants to basically spend time talking about how he's influenced everybody. And then Andy obviously starts saying she's learned mistakes and setbacks aren't irreversible. We see Minkus. Minkus is here yet again.
Yeah, look at him. Look at him.
Doing his thing.
Yeah.
And then Principal Green.
Yeah, they all say how they affected him. Even Nikki talks about it. Nikki's like, yeah, like, Dad, like, comes home and talks about all of you. And it's like,
all I can think of is, like, Dad tells me, like, all the hot goss about you guys all day long. Like, I know all your dirty secrets, bitch.
Yeah, like, that's not what I thought. I was like, I don't know if you want to be saying that, Nikki. Like, I understand, like, you're like, oh, he, like, really cares about his students. Like, he thinks about them even when they're home. But it's like, he's like, he talks about you guys at dinner and then after dinner and then before dinner. Actually, that's all he really talks about.
All he talks about is you guys. He actually never asks how my day is.
No. So, I don't know. And then Principal Green does show up, and he speaks, and he's like, you know, I'm really happy that I touched all of you guys and, like, made a difference in your lives, but also I'm not staying. Like, I've made my decision, and I'm leaving.
Yes. And he says, regardless of the outcome, he wants to thank everybody. And this was, like, a really nice speech that he had. And then afterwards, we see Jen approaching Pacey, and she says, you know what? You did it. You rallied for her in a very ducky-like manner. Which obviously is a reference to Mighty Ducks, like, for sure. Especially the jersey that Pacey is wearing because he was in the Mighty Ducks, right. Joshua Jackson.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he says she didn't even thank me. And she says one day she will, don't worry. Every duck has his day, which actually is the reference to Mighty Ducks.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep. That makes sense.
And then she says, just ask Henry. And it's like, the fuck? Don't call Henry a fucking duck, Jen.
Yeah, just like, oh, yeah, like you know, even Henry has a good day because I gave him some attention.
Yeah, exactly. Like, girl, stop being so rude to Henry. My God.
Where's Henry? Henry was not in this episode. No. He was not at the rally. He could have been an extra number.
Yep.
And then, I mean, it sucks that, like, Joey didn't think to say thank you yet. That's, like, not cool.
Yeah. I think she just has, like, a lot of people approaching her at the moment. And mm-hmm. so she's kind of busy talking to everybody. But, yes, then we see... Bessie approach Bodie and Joey. She shows up with Alexander, who's of course freezing and he's in a jacket.
She's like, baby Alexander cares about you, Joey, but I don't.
Girl, just say it.
Yeah,
he's proud of his Aunt Joey, how talented you are, how smart, how brave.
Baby
yada,
Alexander
yada, yada.
Didn't say any of that shit because baby Alexander can't talk yet.
Baby Alexander literally just eats, sleeps, and poops. That's why what he does. And he shivers because he's cold.
Why does Bessie have to lie? I don't even know if dumb. Baby Alexander can say the name Joey. I don't know.
I'm not quite sure
because they haven't given Baby Alexander any lines.
And that's fine because we don't care about Baby Alexander.
I mean, I like Baby Alexander's hair.
Okay.
And he's a cute kid, but also, yeah, so she's like, you know what, like, I'm proud of you and you know what, you're not going to ruin the family business. It's fine. Don't worry. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we see Principal Green is in his office and he's packing things up. Joey comes in and she says she feels like she failed him because they weren't loud enough. And so she apologizes. And he said in all of his years in education, he's never felt more successful than he does right now. He says, thank you for fighting for me. And this was like a very sweet moment. And then it got like, so like heartbreaking, but also like really nice, but also really, it's like very bittersweet when you see he leaves his office and all the students are like lined up to like applaud him as he leaves with Nikki.
Yeah.
It was like a really sad moment because I really liked Principal Green as a character.
Yeah.
And like, we were really excited about Nikki too joining the cast.
I cannot believe it.
Can we assume that like Nikki is, that's it?
Yeah,
like, Nikki's
I looked
not gonna
it
be
up.
Any longer.
I looked it up.
Sarah!
Sorry.
You're not supposed to spoil yourself.
I know,
what are you doing?
But like, it's I didn't think that like just seeing if Nikki.
I'm sorry, what was that defense?
I didn't think that like just seeing if Nikki was going to be in any other episode was that big of a spoiler.
It's not that big of a spoiler, but like.
I wanted
yeah,
to
it's just
know.
Sad.
I wanted
it's
to
sad.
Know. It's like, sad. And it's annoying because, yeah, like I was really excited about Nikki. I thought that like him and Dawson had like potential. I thought
that
Principal Green was a great
leader,
a great mentor. Loved him. Yeah.
I think it's really annoying on many levels, one of which is because we're not going to get the Dawson Nikki stuff where there definitely was chemistry there. Two is, okay, let's just take the only like two people of color off of the show, which is also infuriating,
yeah.
especially on an episode like this where that's the fucking topic.
Yeah,
like it's so annoying.
Yeah.
Like I felt like they added a fun dimension to the show, and not only that, but not even if we take relationship off of the table between Dawson and Nikki, the fact that she's also interested in film and like was forcing him to confront these feelings of maybe he's not that great at it, I really liked that aspect of the show.
Yeah, I liked it too. I thought that Nikki and Principal Green were two great characters. I would have said that they were like my two favorite supplemental characters of the season, and it is a shame that their story arc was so short. I would have wished that we had more time with them.
Yeah, it's really upsetting. I feel like if you listen to our Boy Meets World content, I feel similarly about like the Eli thing and kind of like the Jonathan Turner thing.
Yeah,
where granted these send-offs were much better than theirs, but at the same time, I don't know why they needed send-offs, right? Like,
I don't know.
They could have had the story end differently or told a little bit of a different story in which they get to stay. They could have addressed this type of social issue while not having them leave the show. So that really sucks. But I, again, to reiterate, this scene is amazing. It's a great scene. I'm just upset they're off the show.
It's very emotional having everybody come out and clap for him and show their appreciation. And in hand in hand, Nikki and Principal Green leave the school. And at least, if anything else, like, Principal Green stuck by his convictions. Like, he didn't, he didn't, like, give in to the pressure. And I think that he can leave with, like, his head held high.
Yeah,
he's not a sellout. He's not a cop out. Like, he knew what he did was the correct move. And that's that. Sometimes in life, it's not fair. Like, I'm reminded of my favorite college professor got drove out my junior year of school. And it was also a very unfair thing. And I thought that it was terrible because he really, you know, helped my life. Like, he made everything better with my schooling, and I got a lot out of it. And I think that he was a great professor. And ultimately, like, it was some sort of disagreement between two professors, and the professor that stayed was a fucking shitty ass teacher. Terrible teacher.
Isn't that the way it always is?
It is, exactly. So, like, it's not always the fair thing in life, and it's not always about the betterment of the students. It's about these politics, these, like, office or school or community politics. And it's a tough lesson to swallow. And then once again, I applaud Dawson's Creek for telling a story that's not easy, but it's something that we see all the time. Then we get the pleasure of going back to the restaurant with Galen Dawson.
No one cares about this particular side of the story, but, you know,
a very moving scene where Gail says that she got a spot on the news and gets to go in and film an intro. And Dawson's like, that's great. Like, you can, like, go back to news reporting, I'm sure. Yeah. And then she goes,
because that was her fucking dream, not a fucking fish restaurant.
Yeah, and then she's like, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do the fish restaurant. And it's like, it's almost like, okay, like, you know, she wants, like, the point is, like, she wanted to leave on her own terms. Which in a way,
but then why was she shown having so much fucking fun doing the reporting?
Yeah.
Like, she was enjoying herself.
Yeah. I know. It's really stupid. And she wanted a chance to say no. And now she's just going to forget her news reporting anchor work and just live the cod dream.
Yeah. And she just keeps complimenting Dawson as if his ego needs any more stroking. Yeah, she's like, you're the quiet hero. You inspired me. You're smart. You're capable. You're sincere. Like, okay, enough. Enough.
Yeah. What did he even do?
He did, like, nothing. He suggested he film her. Wow.
It's like, you're an amazing child, Dawson.
So ridiculous. Yeah. So then we get arguably one of the best scenes of the episode beyond the clapping in the hallway. Pacey drags Joey somewhere. He says, a girl, a wall, and a paintbrush. And he points to the wall. He says he rented the wall for $100. It's a big fucking wall.
Good deal.
He says it's bigger and better than the last wall she had. He got her a can of paint. And she says she's going to need his help. She's like, you're unbelievable. You challenged me in a way no one else would even think of. And she finally thanks him. And my question is, how the fuck is she going to paint a wall in the middle of winter?
Hopefully she has time. I don't know. I love the wall. I'm not going to.
It's very sweet.
I'm not going to be, like, making fun of PC for the wall. I think that's a very, very sweet sentiment. It actually inspires her, unlike Dawson, to, I don't know.
Unlike AJ, who's boring as fuck.
It pushes her. I think it's an extremely sweet sentiment, and I love it. I think that, you know, it's not a secret that I would love something like this. It's very romantic.
Yeah, it's a very, very sweet sentiment, especially because her mural got destroyed, and this is a bigger, better canvas for her to just do what she wants with, right? Mm-hmm. To inspire her and be creative. And yeah, I think this is a great way to show that you don't necessarily need someone, right? Like, she dated Jack and they both had the same interests in art. You don't necessarily need somebody who has the exact same interests as you, as long as that person is supportive of those interests. Yeah. So I like what that says about the potential of Joey and Pacey.
Right. Yeah. And, like, I think that it's pretty obvious that, like, freaking Dawson has very not been supportive of Joey's interest in art. And
right.
I don't know. It's hard not to love the prospect of Jossie. It's hard not mm-hmm. to. I can see it. But the show is like master manipulators.
They really know what they're doing.
They really know what they're doing. And yeah. it's hard to not love what we're getting. And all I have to say is that I don't think that Miss Josephine Potter deserves Pacey. I don't think...
Whoa! These are big words.
I'm just saying, like, I don't... What did Joey do? Just besides put some hair behind her ears to...
She bites her lower lip,
and
bites, you know.
Her lower lip to make... to earn the thoughtfulness of Pacey.
I don't know. But this is a good episode. I think it's a hard one to watch, but... I don't want to say I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the episode, but I get so annoyed watching it. It makes me feel things, which is a good thing, right? Television should make you feel things, and it made me feel things. Many different emotions, a variety of emotions yeah. here. Ends on a great note.
Yeah.
I'm very upset to see Principal Green and Nikki go, but love that, like, if this is their send-off, it's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
So love that. Would you like to know what the next episode title is going to be?
Yes, please.
Cinderella story.
Cinderella story.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
What does it mean?
I don't know. Maybe like Pacey's Cinderella.
Okay. He's going to find a shoe that fits.
I forgot about the shoe part. Which is like.
I forget about the shoe part. That's like the whole thing.
I don't know.
The glass slipper.
I don't know. I just okay. like. I think like when I think of Cinderella, I just think of the ball. That's probably the first thing I think about.
When I think of Cinderella, the first thing I think of is like the carriage turning into a pumpkin at midnight.
Oh, yeah.
Or the mice that go, Cinderella, Cinderella.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? No, I totally do. I totally know okay. what you mean. But like, I think about like the gowns and the ball.
It's fair.
I always liked, what's the Drew Barrymore Cinderella? That one I love.
It was a Drew Barrymore Cinderella?
Yeah.
Hold on. Drew Barrymore Cinderella.
Yeah.
Ever After.
I love that movie. Is that a 90s movie?
Yep, 98.
Oh, we gotta watch that. That one. You've never seen okay. it?
Quality.
It's quality. I
don't think so. Her hair looks beautiful.
Oh my God. It's the best movie ever.
Okay. Well, we can watch it.
Yeah.
Yes. So, anywho, shall we get into some feedback and some fashion hour after the ad break?
Yep.
All right. Let's go to a quick word from the sponsors and we will be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. Let's get into some feedback because we got a bunch of it. This is a very, I think it's like an infamous episode, so... Let's break it all down with the people.
Yeah, let's start off with Stefan. Stefan, the world mm-hmm. traveler, is back in California. I'm glad that you had some nice travels. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to say that this made him very angry, this episode, and that people suck and Principal Green deserves better. We agree. We are talking about the man who taught Joey how to do jazz hands on Friends.
Yes, I remember that episode. It is like the Joey wants to try out for like a play or something. And yes. he says he has all these like years of experience dancing and he really doesn't. And so he has to like, yeah, it's very
is
funny.
Is it T like T for two? No, that's the tap dancing.
That's tap dancing.
Yeah, I remember now. Mm-hmm. Oh, I found the article, not the article, the clip on the YouTube. Yep. Yeah. Let's see. I see Principal Green. Oh, my God. Here look at is. You. You look like an icon.
Yeah.
Let's see. I want to see the jazz hands.
Yeah, he does it at the end.
Okay.
He does like,
oh, I see it. Yeah. Oh. Ooh. Oh my God. Wait. Principal Green can really get down.
He knows how to do like, it's like putter beret, putter beret.
Oh my God. He's a great dancer.
He spins.
That is some really good jazz hands.
Yeah, he's good at it.
Joey, not Potter, doing jazz hands is very entertaining.
Joey, not Potter.
Yes. Okay. Next up, we have an email from Kimmy. Kimmy says, I've made a definitive ranking of every Dawson's Creek episode ever, and 5 out of the next 8 episodes are in the top 10. Holy crap, including this one. I love this episode. Here are some notes. Number one, look, I'm on the school board and I can say with all certainty this is not in any way how this works and not how any of this, how any of this works. It just, this is not right. This is, she says, this is not how it would go down, which is kind of what our question was earlier. Like, could this happen? Yeah. What is this?
Good to know this isn't how this would work.
Yeah. Number two, AJ, get out of here. You're so boring. You have no loyalty. Go away.
Just
I just think like at least he's trying.
Yeah, whatever. He's
number three, who knew Gail wasn't actually a good journalist? I thought she was just blowing Bob, but here she is doing great work. 20 years with this fish restaurant. Ugh. Sarah, what are we going to do? I don't know. Like, I don't know how I'm going to survive the fish restaurant. The
fucking fish.
I don't want it. I don't want it.
Nobody does.
There is no amount of cod or bass or salmon or shrimp or crab. Or
you know a lot of fish.
I can probably name a lot of fish. I think that's my talent. Swordfish.
That is your talent.
Catfish.
Naming fish.
Yeah, I think so.
What a talent.
I think that's my only talent. Number four, Minkus. The crossover is serendipitous. I love seeing Minkus.
But I do
Minkus
too.
Older looks even weirder than young Minkus.
I mean, he's just growing into his face, I think.
It's weird. Number five, I'm heartbroken over Principal Green. What an outpouring of love. He really did inspire these kids to do and be better. If I don't get a slow clap in my life, what am I even doing? Thank God for teachers of our children so that our garden can grow.
Yeah, that's that song that plays when he walks
out. Yes, yes.
Thank God for the teachers of our children.
Wow.
So our garden can grow.
Oh, yeah. I can just think of like a good handful of teachers that really, really, I think were important people in my life. Mm-hmm. And I think that we don't give teachers enough credit, enough money, enough acknowledgement, because they are the ones who are shaping your children.
Yeah, they're making them, like them combined with parents, are making them into not little assholes. So, yeah. Like, and pay them more.
And like we talk about a lot on like Boy Meets Worlds, like we feel in a way at a certain point, it really is like teachers that take over that role from the parents of shaping children. Because you spend, honestly, probably more awake time with your teachers than you do your parents. Yep. Especially if you're a latchkey kid like I was.
Yeah.
And number six, he bought her a wall, a motherfucking wall. Well, Sarah, Jess, Linda, if you're not at least sipping Jossie juice at this point, I don't know what else to do. Has the needle moved a little? Okay. Well, I mean, Jess, like, what do you think?
Here's the situation.
I
was, like, fully pandy when it was happening. I have been trying to, like, be reserved, be conservative, not be too out there because I want you to, like, form your own opinions. Because I know, like, what will happen and, like, I know some of the stuff, it's, like, hard for me to say it without feeling like I'm influencing decisions. Mm. So I will say I love this moment. I think Pacey and Joey, as we've seen, have a great chemistry, have great balance. They equal each other out in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Pandy. Don't get me wrong. Pandy was great. I think what ruined Pandy is the season 3 showrunner in the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could have come back, but they didn't. And now if we have to put Pandy in the past, I love Jossie. I love Jossie.
My only question in this world is who are the people that are pro Dawson and Joey? We don't hear from them often.
I think I think, okay, who are if they? I'm putting this into perspective, I think a lot of the pro Joey Dawson people were people watching this like live when it happened and were more casual versus the people that are rewatching it now in 2021 and like are really huge, huge fans of the show, right? I feel like the casual viewers are Dawson, Joey, and more of the other people are like either Pandy or is it, it must be Josie, right? Because Joey, Pacey, Josie Juice.
I like Jossie better.
Oh, well, we can say Jossie. That's fine.
I get the Jossie people. I get the Pandy people. I don't know who you are if you're, like, full on. They don't even have a ship name.
Jossin?
Jossin.
Doughy?
It doesn't even make sense.
Doughy's terrible.
I just want, if you're out there, like, please let me know and, like, you know, fight your case. Like get into the ring.
Get in here. I want a vibe check. How are you feeling about the Jossie sitch?
Yeah, like it's hard not to fall in love with it. Like it's like, you know, you had to like take Pandy out of it, right? Like you can't, like you have
to. We've moved on at this point, right? Like that was season two news.
You have to take them out of the equation. I mean, do I think that they're a better couple than Joey and Dawson? Like 110%, but it, like, yeah, like I am a simp and I will follow whatever the show's telling me. And the show
that's
is
fair,
telling
you're
me
influenced by the show.
Yeah, like, I mean, I like it. Like, of course, I like it. He bought her a wall. Like, what else could I want? I want somebody to buy me a wall.
Okay.
I don't know what I would do with it, but I want it.
I mean, you're not, I mean, can you paint?
Yeah, no.
That's I'll buy language. You a wall just for you to hang pictures of your dogs on.
Yeah, like I mean, like I there just want it. Like I don't want it. Like
you could
do something.
You could do that thing
it.
Where like you could decoupage or whatever the hell
decoupage.
You could is that a word? Decoupage. Yeah. Dog photos on it. You know,
sure.
Like, glue them on.
Yeah.
What's it called? Like a.
A collage. The
decoupage, a collage.
Yeah, like the national Shih Tzu Society should give
there
me
you
a
go.
Call.
There you go.
We have a message from Temi. Temi says, if we follow the succession line of decisions, the mayor should request the resignation of the superintendent. So we have Mr. Green being like, you have to resign from school, Matt Caulfield. Then we have the superintendent being like, you should resign, Mr. Principal Green. And then we should have the mayor speak to the superintendent. And then
I agree with this.
The governor should speak to the mayor and then the senator. And then, like, let's just raise it up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I love this.
And then
what?
And then what? The world's
take it
peace
to
organization?
The yeah, take it to everybody. The world. Amazing.
Yes. and then he points out Minkus as well.
Love
and of
Minkus.
Course reminds us that he was what, like Lips from like One Tree Hill?
Mao.
Whatever.
Not
who cares?
Lips.
Who cares? Yeah. And Farkle's dad on Girl Meets World.
Ugh, no
you
one cares about Girl Meets World.
The famous role of Farkle's dad.
Fucking Farkle. Don't give a shit about Farkle.
Good. Okay. Okay. We got an email from Linda. We're on green team. Oh, we are on the green team.
We are on the green
team. I really hate seeing Principal Green go when I feel like he cares more about the Cree Creeps than most of the other adults on the show.
That's fair. They send off
at the end when he walked in the hall, had my emo cancer self crying. Linda, I am the least surprised that you're a cancer, my friend.
That is really the least surprising
information I've heard in 2021. And I love it. I love cancer.
Do we think Kimmy is a fire sign?
Oh, yeah, totally.
If Kimmy is a fire sign
Kimmy
and Linda's a water
sign.
She was
an Aries.
That
I don't
would
know.
So
I don't remember.
Track with Kimmy if she was an Aries.
No, but I don't mean that in any sort of disrespectful way because cancers are actually my favorite sign.
I'm offended now.
Jessica, I've told you this from day one. I know that. All my best friends that I've ever had, aside from you and some other people, a lot of people have been cancers.
All of them except from
well,
you.
Well, okay, hold on. One second. Like, my four best friends, we talked about this, are each a different element.
Which is good because you balance
so
each
good.
Other out.
It's so
sure.
good. Like, I got you as a Leo. I got Dina as a Gemini. She's an air sign. Jillian is a water sign, and Michelle's an earth sign. So there my four closest. Well, why am I ranking? This is not a ranking of my friends. They don't even listen because you people suck.
Well, then I should be your best friend because I listen.
You don't even listen to us either.
I participate.
You don't listen to us either.
I do listen to us.
Why am I doing this?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, anyway, interesting side note. When I was in school, one of the teachers was fired because he was gay. We had a petition to reinstate him, then made signs and protested outside the superintendent's building. Our story had a happier ending. Our teacher got his job back. Spectacular. Beautiful job. Amazing, Linda. I'm really happy that you fought for what was right, and I'm glad that he got his job back. And screw you, freaking teachers of Linda's school. How dare you do that? This episode felt a bit off. Joey has hardly had any interactions with Principal Green, so it seems odd she'd be the one putting together the rally and protest. It seems a lot more in Andy's wheelhouse.
That's what we said.
Plus, Green was her mentor. I totally agree with you. It seems like she would be more likely to organize a rally and save Principal Green's job, especially after how he just helped her. It was very odd that they barely showed Andy, and it kind of makes me feel like Joey's the focus just so they can have a reason to bring AJ back and have Pacey giving Joey puppy eyes all throughout the episode.
I don't disagree with this, that like they're trying to give more Joey content, even though this feels like a more Andy type of thing.
I mean, like, I think like since season one we've been getting less and less of Joey in a way.
Yeah, so maybe they were like, time to give Joey content.
Joey needs some storylines. Yeah. I do love that we're getting more Bodhi. So do we. I understand why Joey would fight for Principal Green and against those racist douche canoes. I just don't see her organizing everything that seems like to fit Andy's character more. I absolutely agree with you. I think that would make more sense. I also think for, as we said earlier, for the sake of making a compelling and non-biased argument, like, I think it would have made more sense if Andy did it too. Speaking of Andy, she had my favorite quote of this episode. The Linda, you would find the one Andy quote that she had. I love you, girly. But the two most important things I learned from Principal Green were that mistakes and setbacks are necessarily irreversible, and if you can't learn from yourself, then you can't learn from anybody. I think that's a great line. We see mistakes and setbacks as world-ending moments with no return. That isn't the case, though. These moments teach us lessons about who we are and who we're meant to be. They can help heal us and help us grow into our best versions of ourselves. Beautifully said, Linda. I think that's a great point. I think that sometimes when you do make mistakes, you're just like, that's it for me. Like, there's no going back. I'm a terrible person now.
But there's always opportunity redemption. To learn. Yeah, to move and grow, for sure.
On that year, Happy New Year's to me and you, Jess, and all the noodles. And we hope that 2022 brings you happiness as well, Linda. And we can't wait to share it with you and everybody else in our crew.
Yeah, we've had an amazing year of Dawson's Creek content. Obviously, this will be coming out in the new year, but like, I'm super excited to get into the rest of Dawson's Creek. Like, we're almost halfway through the show, which is kind of wild that we've gotten through an entire, like, almost three seasons, two and a half under a year. Just absolutely wild. I'm loving the show. I'm loving talking about it every single week. It's like one of the highlights of my week. Like, I love Dawson's Creek. It's so much fun to talk about because it's both ridiculous, but also you have episodes like this that are like very heartwarming and serious and deal with real world issues.
Absolutely.
Thank you everybody for the feedback. On that note, are you ready to get into some of the fashion awa?
I am. I'm here.
Amazing. Let's get into the Rachel Green Award. Let's see. Oh, sorry. We're in the Elle Woods Award for Fashion Excellence now. I keep forgetting. First up, we have Linda's favorite, Andy McPhee. This is in the scene where she is trying to blackmail somebody into helping. She is wearing a kind of like a light blue, almost gray sweater with a hood, like kind of like a sweatshirt with a hood. It does have like an interesting cuff detailing. It's like black embroidered on the cuff. And on top of that, she has a gray vest. But one of the main reasons I chose this outfit is because of her hair. In the 90s, we were all about doing complex things to our hair for no reason.
For no reason and at all.
So she's like, let me not only just put pins in my hair, but I'm going to like weave them underneath each other mm-hmm. and put these like clips like in to hold them back.
Applesauce.
Yes, and this is Andy, and of course she's holding one of those like super ginormous old cordless house phones.
Yeah. I like this. I like her little vest. Like it's one of those. I forget what the company's the Columbia yes. vest. Yes,
they do look like a Columbia.
Yeah, like the little felt ones. The sweatshirt is like pretty like early 2000s as well. I mean, mm-hmm. Andy loves an embroidered detail. She really does.
She loves blue. Everything is blue.
Everything's blue. Her hair is really, it's really cute. And her bangs look better. Her hair looks bigger. We did it. We got past it.
We got past the terrible, terrible bangs.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Moving on, our next option here, someone who won't be an option for any longer, is Nikki Green. This is her outfit when going to the rally.
Mm-hmm.
She is wearing denim jeans that kind of end, like they're kind of straight leg and end a little bit like around her ankle. Platform heels, baby.
Yeah. She's wearing these
real chunky black shoes. She's wearing what looks to be kind of like a, I'm trying to think of the material, kind of like a felt. Satiny jacket, like a black jacket that goes, it's pretty long, it goes like all the way almost to her knees.
Mm-hmm.
And the main reason I chose this is Haheya, baby. She is wearing a ponytail, but instead of just doing like a normal everyday ponytail, because who wants that, needs to make it zhuzh it up. She has like those, I remember when people used to buy those hair ties that you would put around the hair tie and make it look like you had pieces of hair just sticking out at all angles.
It was like a hair tie that had hair on it.
And yeah, it was fake hair and you're supposed to buy it in your hair color. Good fucking luck finding one. And it would stick just like straight out and make you look like some kind of weird reptile.
Yeah, but people loved it. They reminds me of this.
I think this is actually her hair, but it does remind me of that.
Yeah.
And then she's also wearing like kind of a necklace that looks almost choker-esque. And it has like little, it's like kind of silvery, has little things on it. Yeah, this is Nikki's look.
Yeah, I mean, Nikki is always very like fashionable in the sense of an early 2000s person would be. She definitely is kind of like a trendy dresser in the hairstyle. Yes, very trendy. And I think that Nikki will be missed. I think that she's like the actress is so beautiful. I think she's also one of those people that like whatever she wears, like she's gonna look amazing in. I'm just gonna miss her. I hope that she has a good time like in Buffy the Vampire Slayer or wherever the fuck that she is now.
Yeah, same. I really enjoyed Nikki as a character and I will miss her as well. And especially I love her fashion too. I feel like we complimented her fashion often because it was just so much better than some other people's. Like she just knew what she was doing. And then last but not least, we have Shitty Bessie. I had to choose her because there were two times in this episode where I was like, Bessie, what the fuck is actually happening with your hair? This was one of those times. The other time was a little bit crazier, but this one I felt like fit the bill more. So she has her hair up, but it's like she tried to do a messy bun, but then forgot to do the bun part. And it's just like flopsy all over her head. And then she has obviously the spermy brows, bangs. She has on a big fluffy red turtleneck with like a very chonky around the neck part. Mm-hmm. And then that hideous fucking pink coat that we've seen her wear before.
I complimented the pink coat last time. But yeah, she looks like a fucking mess. I don't know what to say.
She looks like a fucking Muppet in this episode. Like there's so much of Muppet fabric. Like how many Muppets did you have to skin, Bessie, to make this outfit?
Lots of Muppets. And like the, you know, I love a turtleneck, but this
is an unforgivable one, I think.
This sweater looks like an uncircumcised penis. That's what that looks like.
Oh my god.
So I think my winner is going to be Andy. I can't deal with everybody else. I mean, like, I'm not gonna give it to Nikki. It'll be a throwaway. You know, I like to put the finger on the pulse.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
So amazing. All right, let's move on to our Paul Rudd certificate of timelessness. First up, you know, I saw a turtleneck and I was like,
oh yeah,
Sarah's gonna appreciate this. Yep. I have Jack, and this is in the part of the episode where they're like doing the rally at
when
the house.
He's like a graphic designer.
He is a graphic designer, bitch. He is wearing a gray sweater, gray turtleneck, and it has an interesting, like, it's striped. Like, a lot of people this episode were wearing, like, winter sweaters where they have, like, a very wintry pattern on them.
Oh, absolutely.
This one's no different. Kind of looks like fencing almost, and then there's some dots, there's some lines.
Yeah, there's, like, a lot of activity going on.
Yeah, and his hair is always looking good since he redid it in season two, so...
No, you know. Jack's a great-looking guy, and that's a great-looking sweater. I hope that...
Yeah, he looks fantastic.
Always looks great. Always looks good.
And next up, we have... I had to do this. The man, the myth, the legend, Principal Green. I feel like his suit especially looks really nice in this episode. It's just a gray suit. He has a light blue... what is it? Button-down shirt underneath and, like, a really nice, like, blue and green tie. I felt like everything went very well together. And on top of that, I just felt like this is a timeless suit where sometimes we see, like, very baggy suits. And this did not read that way to me.
He's a great-looking guy. This is a great-looking suit. He had a great episode, and I will miss him, and he's my winner.
Amazing.
We love you, Principal Green. We'll miss you. You're a great educator, and we appreciate you.
Yes, we really will. So that is it for the fashion awards. We'll be back next week. And then obviously, if you missed any of our Christmas content or holiday content, go check it out. There's so much of it. On top of that, we did cover the first episode, kind of two episodes of And Just Like That. Just so much, so much content. Sarah, where can they find us if they want to answer the question in the poll that we're going to post about the DTRing of Joey and AJ?
Yeah, so you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Shit90sPod. You can follow us and everything that we do on our website, www.shit90spod.com. You can always email us as well, shit90spod@gmail.com. You can find me at Sarah Ferguson. And yeah, like, that's it. Like, this is our last recording in 2022, our last podcast that we're recording in 2021, excuse me. And I once again just want to show my appreciation for all of you. That's it.
Yes, thank you all for listening so much. You can always catch me at the Jess Sterling on Twitter. I'm on Post Show Recaps doing community building. We finished our Succession podcast, and there's going to be something else coming out, I think, today. Today's Monday. Yeah, I think something else is coming out today. So go check over at Post Show Recaps for some coverage. If you are watching the show on Showtime called Yellow Jackets, go check out coverage there. I'm going to be on a podcast talking about it. It's actually a really interesting show. Christina Ricci's in it. So if, like, you need a 90s fix and you remember loving Christina Ricci, go check that out, because part of the show does take place in the 90s. So kind of right up my alley. Go check that out over at Post Show Recaps. Thank you all for listening so much. Thank you all for listening to all the content we did in 2021. We can't wait to do a ton more content in 2022. So we will talk to you all next time. Have a good one, everybody, and Happy New Year. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.